Well, I have the toughest task, and that's to keep everyone awake. And so I hope you make that task a little bit easier. If you were able to join us on Wednesday night, I said that Saturday would be a joyous occasion. Something special would happen on Saturday, and it happened. Eyes married now. And to my beautiful wife, I get to say that now. So happy for everyone that was able to come out and to be with us and to celebrate such a joyous occasion. I'm happy for everyone that worked behind the scenes, those who kept the music going and the food. It was very, very beautiful, and I speak for both of us. We're so very appreciative of this congregation and everyone here that had a part to play in it. And to you all, we're so very, very, very grateful. And so thank you for that. On this afternoon, we're going to deal with perhaps the toughest questions for members of the body of Christ. One of the toughest questions for Christians has been and will always be, perhaps. And that question is, do you trust God? That question presupposes two things, at least two things. It presupposes that God exists. There is a God. And it presupposes also that it is possible to trust this God. Well, when asking this particular question, then I believe it is necessary to identify some terms. Do you trust God? Well, first, what does the term "you" mean? We use it in our daily speech. We use it in our daily conversation, one to another. When you think about the word "you," "you" is referred to as a person, "you" is referred to as a or the people who are being addressed, a person or the people who are being addressed. And then you think about the word "trust." The word "trust" is the word that we use. Do you trust me? Do you trust her? Do we trust the doctors to operate on us? We utilize these common words in our daily lives over and over again, but do we truly understand what they mean? Do we understand what we're saying when we use those words? The word "trust" is firm belief in the reliability, truth, and ability or strength of someone or something. To trust someone is to allow him or her to have, to use, or look after something of importance, something of value, and to have confidence in that individual to do so. To trust someone is to place reliance upon him or her. So do you trust God? And it is sad that we have to define the next term, God. But it is necessary. There are so many gods in this world that people serve, that people worship. The Hindu have over 4 million gods. I just met a woman in Nebraska, and she said that she served the god Kilo. Never heard of the god Kilo. And when asking her, I said, well, what does your god do for you? How do you worship your god? She said, well, I just do whatever I want. And whenever that god is upset with me, he gives me a massive migraine. I said, well, how convenient. When we're talking about the word God, when I speak of the word God, we're talking about the God of heaven, Genesis 1:1, the God that created heaven and earth, Genesis 1:1. We're talking about the God of the Bible, the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the word God is rendered as Elohim. In the New Testament, it's rendered as Theos or Theos. When you look at this God, this is an all-powerful God, an all-benevolent God, an all-wise God. When we think about the word omnipotent, it means all-powerful. So then now we can better ask the question. We can better answer the question now. Do you trust God? Do you really trust God? As people of God, we face this difficulty. Even if we don't ask ourselves this question, we face it in our daily lives. We face it in the way that we speak to others. We face it in the way that we act towards one another. And we face it in the decisions that we make. Do you trust God? Do I trust God? There are three Hebrew yous in our text, is Daniel chapter 3. There are three Hebrew yous by the name of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And these three Hebrew yous will be put to the test like none of us have ever faced before. And just to give you a little history of what was going on, remember the time was 606 BC, and Judah has just been taken into captivity, to Babylonian captivity. And now that they have gone into captivity, Nebuchadnezzar has built this statue, this golden image, and he had a herald, a person sitting beside it, and he had called all the important people of the land, all of the men, all of the women, everyone to come and to stand before this statue. And here it is. Remember the question, do you trust God? Here it is. If, and at the sound of the sackbut, the psaltery, all type of musical instruments, when you hear those things, guess what you are to do? Bow. Now notice, he doesn't suggest bowing. He doesn't say, please bow. You are to bow before this image. That's your task. But remember Exodus 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That was written prior to King Nebuchadnezzar doing this. You already know the decree of God. So I ask you the question again. Do you trust God? Think about it. You know that. You know the decree already. Bow before this image. Worship this image. Kiss the feet of this image. What are you going to do? That's the scene. You're in Babylonian captivity. You're with these people. You have been told this decree. And basically, if you don't do it, then at the very moment that you do not, you will be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. That's the decree of the king. So keep in mind, do you trust God? You're here in captivity now. You know the decree of God, Exodus 20:3 and following. But you have now been given the decree of King Nebuchadnezzar, which was the most powerful man on the planet at that time. So do you trust God? When we think about this question, the first thing that we need to think about is trusting God implies knowing God. You know, I find it difficult to trust any individual I do not know. I can't place all of my trust in you if I don't know you, if you haven't done anything for me, if I haven't been able to trust you with anything or rely upon you for anything. I can't fully place my trust in you. Well, guess what? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah knew God. Notice Daniel 3:17. Daniel 3:17. And notice how the Bible reads. It says, if it be so, our God. Notice the word our. Our is a possessive pronoun. When using this word, it denotes the idea of pertaining to us or belonging to us. We utilize this word in our daily speech. This is our house. If you're married and you own a house together, this is our house. As a congregation, this is our building, something that you would say. So when you use the word our, you're saying this belongs to me. Well, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah said that God, that's their God. He belongs to us. We serve the one true God. Notice there are many other renderings of this phrase in the Bible. Exodus 5:3, Moses, who was the spokesman and leader of Israel, said that God was their God. And then also Joshua 2:9-11, guess what? Those who were not even in a covenant relationship with God said that God was the God of the Hebrews. They knew that God belonged to the Hebrews, or that God was the God of the Hebrews. And then Exodus 3:7, God himself claimed to be their God. So then when you look at this and see what the situation that these three Hebrew youths are in as of now, they have been told to bow before this. Notice this. This is logical. It has nothing to do with feelings. This is logical. Now that I know the decree of God, I know what God has said. I know what God expects of me. But wait a minute. Now my life is on the line. Do you trust God? That's hard. That's difficult. See, the entire purpose of this sermon is not to, get you riled up in your feelings. It's not to get you to feel bad about these three Hebrew youths. It's to get you to think logically about how God will want you to think. What does God expect of me, even if my life is on the line? That's the overall purpose. I know that we find it hard to even consider such a question and such an example because we live in America. And no persecution has taken place that will cost us our life just yet. And God forbid that it will. But if so, do you trust God? Do you really trust God? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah not only knew God, but they knew his capability. Notice 3:17 again. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able. He's able. We sang songs about God being able. There are many songs about God and his ability. Notice, I just want to look at a few of God's, at his resume, if you will. Just look at some of the things that God has done. God, with his very breath, created the world. Psalm 33:6-9. And we're just going to stick with his breath. And just notice how much he's done with his breath alone. He created the heavens and the earth with it. With that same breath, he was able to breathe into dust and make a living soul, humanity. Genesis 2:7. And with that breath, he gave us the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. So when I think about the ability of God, it's not the case that God isn't able. And I want you to remember that. We're not going to go farther on it just yet. But it's not the case that God is not able. He's able. His breath alone is able. So then I ask myself this question. I keep playing it over and over and over again in my mind. Do you trust God? I'm repeating this because look at the situation that we're in. We're in captivity right now. The king has already told us what we need to do. Have you ever had to do something hard? And right before you make the decision, you have butterflies in your stomach. You began to get nervous. Kind of how I felt Saturday when I had to dance. You get nervous. And you begin to think all of these thoughts in your mind. Well, what am I going to do? What should I do now? What if I do this? All of these things perhaps were running through these three Hebrew youths' mind. But the ultimate question was, do you trust God? Notice what King Nebuchadnezzar said unto them, Daniel 3:14. Beginning at Daniel 3:14. And the Bible reads, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which were the Babylonian names given to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. So now the king is asking them, is this true? He's obviously heard this from somebody. Is this true? Do you really disobey me? Do you really neglect the very commandments that I have given unto you? Is this true? Imagine what would be running through your mind at that moment. He's asking us the same thing right now. What's running through your mind? Notice verse 15. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. So he's not given an option. Nor is he making a suggestion. This is his decree. I'm going to give you one more chance to do what I told you to do. Now, we like second chances. Everyone does. But how about a second chance to do wrong? How about that chance? You already know what God expects. But this man who can take your physical life, and keep in mind, we know a passage in the New Testament that has something to do with this. A man that can take your physical life has told you to do something. But you know the decree of God. Let's focus on that. Notice the rest of verse 15. And he says, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast tomorrow. Next week, the same hour. Let's take pause. This is perhaps one of the many reasons that men or that humanity sins so often. Because they are not punished immediately. Because it doesn't happen immediately. They say cancer can live in your body for a long time. Even after cured, you still have to go X amount of years until you're truly cured from that cancer. Well, I've heard an old quote that says, you may be done with sin, but perhaps it's not done with you. Think about that. At the same hour, If you do not, you will be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. And notice what else. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And when he say that, that's one of the most disrespectful phrases in all the Bible. I can imagine the king saying, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? In other words, who is more powerful than me? Who has the power, who has the ability to do or to deliver you out of something that I have condemned you to? Who can do that? Well, we just noticed the ability of God, right? But keep going, keep going. Keep in mind the question, do you trust God? The three Hebrew U's affirmed, our God whom we serve is able. We just read that, Daniel 3:17. In response to the king, our God whom we serve is able. You know, I get so offended when I go to barbershops. And that's when you hear the most about religion. You always find someone that knows more about the Bible than you. Your barber is always trying to put some new knowledge on your brain to give a new wrinkle upon your brain. Well, you know God. Like one man, he cut my hair before I came here. And he said, man, you're going to get all the girls now, man. You can do whatever you want now, man. You can get as many honeys as you want. That's how they speak in Nebraska. I said, I'm about to go get married. Oh, man, well, you know, God said a lot about marriage. Look how the conversation switched. Do you trust God? It's hard. It's one of the most difficult questions ever asked to humanity, ever asked to the people of God. Even now, it's hard. It's difficult. Well, why? Because when something doesn't go my way, then I begin to question myself. I begin to have doubts. I begin to want an answer. Well, we're going to notice something that happened. When I think about, do I trust God? Trusting God includes always trusting God. And this is hard. See, it's not just trusting God for the moment. It's not just trusting God for that day, for that second or minute or hour. It's trusting God always. That's difficult. Trusting God includes always trusting God. In Daniel 3, the verses are 17 through 18. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah believed God was able to deliver them from the burning fiery furnace. See, the question is this. Stay with me, please. Stay with me. This is logical. Think about this. The question has never been, is God able to do this? I think even the scientists that disagree and that say some that say that God doesn't exist, well, they know that, guess what? We figured it out in Charlotte. We can't fly when it's storming. Man-made technology can't work if this or can't go into the air like planes if it's storming. Why? Because it's more powerful. We have to wait till it settle down. God is powerful. The being that made this. So think about this. The question has never been, is God able to do this? The question is, will he? And here's what I mean. They believed that God was able to deliver them out of the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar. They believed that God was able to deliver them out of the burning fiery furnace. But notice, the same similar situation happened with Abraham. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. Turn there, and we're going to receive the history from Genesis 22. Remember, God decided to test or to prove Abraham. And notice, in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried. Remember, God promised him a what? He promised him a son. And that same son, which he promised, he wanted Abraham to do what? To sacrifice him. Hebrews 11, 17 says, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received, speaking of Abraham, that had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Notice this. Accounting that God was what? Look at the word. I circled that. That God was able. Everyone knows God is able. So now you follow me. It has never been the question of, is God able? We know that. But will he? Abraham didn't know that. Will he? Now, see, now I can replay this slowly in my mind. Do you trust God? I know he's able, but will he do what I know that he can do? That's the question. Notice what else. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, he know that God can do that. Even from the dead, he know that God can do that. From whence also he received him in a figure. See, here it is. Whether God's will match their wills or not. No, notice the connection. Whether God's will match their wills. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah knew that God was able to deliver them from the burning fiery furnace and from the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar. Abraham knew that God was able to raise up his son, even from the dead. But here it is, whether God's will matched theirs or not, still did not give them the option to trust him or not. Jesus recognized this. Matthew 26:39. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. God, if there can be any other way, let it happen this way. I don't want it to happen this way. But not my will, but your will be done. See, here it is. If my will doesn't match God's, that's when I begin to doubt. That's when I begin to question. That's when I begin to perhaps have some type of confusion. Well, if God is a loving God, why would he let my loved one die? There's never in our will. If God is such a loving God, when I was at the hospital praying on my knees, crying in tears, please allow this person to receive their strength, to come up out of the hospital, to leave this bed. But they die. Why, God? Why? God, I want this job so bad. I've done all I can. I got my resume completed. I got my clothes ironed. I'm ready. I've gone to the interview. I've mastered it. But you don't receive the job. Why? Why, God? I've prayed to you. Why? Cameron alluded to in his sermon earlier, it's not about the position in which you pray. It's about being in right standing with God. Well, you're in right standing with God. And you still don't get it. Why? Is it because your prayer wasn't heard or answered? It was answered. But was it according to your will? That's when this question really hits home. Do you trust God? Trust in God. And please get this. If you remember nothing else, please remember this. Trust in God is not circumstantial. It doesn't matter what situation that I'm in. It doesn't matter what situation that I face. I do not have the option whether or not to trust God. I must trust God. When you think about the three Hebrew youths, they understood properly that is not an option to not trust God. They understood that trusting God is not circumstantial. Look at Daniel 3:18. But if not, they understood that it was possible for God to deliver them. It did not mean, or it does not mean, that God would deliver them. But they still trusted in God. Be it known unto thee, O king. Notice this, they're speaking to the king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Family and friends, that's trusting God. Not knowing if he will actually do it, but still refusing to do what is wrong. That's trusting God. Notice, whether God chose to deliver them or not, did not give them that choice, they understood that. Look at Exodus 20:3-5. I want us to look at the decree God made prior to the decree of King Nebuchadnezzar. Exodus 20:3-5. Again, it is Exodus 20:3-5. And look at this decree. They knew this. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not make or bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Well, wait a minute, God. What if my life is on the line? Surely I can bow down then. You will understand. Thou shalt not bow down thyself nor serve them. Well, what if this will save my physical life, God? Surely you will understand then. Thou shalt not bow down thyself nor serve them. Every time I stand up to preach, I tell Key, I'm so nervous. And it's not because I don't have confidence in the word of God. But it's because, number one, I know that I'm not worthy to do it. But I realize that a doctor have a physical life. But when I'm preaching unto you, this can affect your eternal life. Amen. Your spiritual life. When we're talking about this question, do you trust God? It's something that I must seriously ponder day and night, in all situations. Do you trust God? And be able to answer with confidence, either yes or no. There's no middle ground. The law of the excluded middle. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah refused to obey the king, even though they knew the decree. And guess what? They were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. All of that happened to them. Their trust in God did not depend on their circumstance. When I look at this, when I read this, I asked myself over and over again, how can I get to that point? How can I get to where they are, to where they were? Well, notice this. Peter said to the apostles, Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. Solomon wrote, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Well, wait a minute. What if my life? Yes, even if your life is on the line, trust in God with all your heart. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That includes even if your life is on the line. And this is hard. I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm not preaching it to say that it's easy, but I'm preaching it because that is hard. It needs to be preached. It needs to be understood. We need to know. We need to have our minds made up now rather than making it up in that situation. Even if your life is on the line, yes, trust God. The true prophets of God, I want us to hear this quickly and then we'll come to a close. The true prophets of God all throughout the Old Testament obeyed God, even when their lives were threatened. Notice Ezekiel 2:3-5. Ezekiel 2:3-5. Notice what God had told Ezekiel. God told Ezekiel to... He sent him to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation. He's already describing these people to Ezekiel before he even gets there. My question was, well, why would you send me to them? If you know they already rebelled against you, they care nothing about you nor your word, why would you send me to them? Well, we're going to find out. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. First of all, you're going to speak my word to them. Though they've already rebelled, you're going to go speak it to them. That's the first reason. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. They will know the truth, whether or not they rebel against it or not. They will know the truth. Jesus said to Smyrna, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. And then he's going to go into telling them what they will suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may suffer, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days or perfectly. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Do you believe that that was easy for them to hear? That you're going to suffer this, but don't fear that. You're going to experience this, but don't fear that. That's hard. So I can't just read that and then say, well, man, you know, that's another story in the Bible. And then don't make the application until that moment. No, I need to get it now. That's hard. Well, why? Because Jesus expects his followers to fear not them which can kill the body, but him that can kill both body and soul in hell. Matthew 10:28. In other words, fear God, not man. So here's the question. Are we ready to answer? Do you trust God? We know what you means. We know what God. We know what God we're talking about. We're not talking about one of the Hindu gods, little g. We're talking about big G, the God of heaven and earth. Elohim, Theos, the one true God, the one that is able. God expects our trust and devotion to be unto him no matter the circumstances. And here's our application. God never promised, and I looked at this throughout the Bible, and it's interesting to me. God never promised that life would be easy, but that it is something which must be endured. Every time you see something dealing with life, it's always enduring this, or have patience with this, or be slow to wrath or to anger. It's always endurance. It's always about patience. Can I finish? That's the ultimate thought. Can I finish? Well, God wants us to finish. He wants us to finish. James says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, or Stephanos, the victory crown. He shall receive that crown which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I learned from Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which is the reason that we return to the Old Testament to learn from it. Romans 15:4. I learned from them these three things. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah taught me that when I remain faithful to God, then God will deliver me to the flames in this world. Why? Is it God delivering me literally? No. Because I am a child of God, people are going to hate me. Because you profess to be a Christian, people are going to hate you. That's John 15. Jesus already warned about that. We can expect that. We know that. So being faithful to God in this world, guess what? You can expect to be delivered to the flames. But that's not it. If I remain faithful to God, I will be delivered in the flames. I learned that from Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And also, if I remain faithful to God in this world, I will be delivered from the flames. That's powerful. So then I ask you, do you trust God? I hope your answer is yes. Yes, and if your answer is no, then those flames that we were talking about being delivered in and from, that individual can expect to stay there. To a flame that's unquenchable, one that cannot be quenched, one that will burn for eternity, and you won't be annihilated. You will feel that forever. And it's not to scare you into obeying the gospel, but listen, it's logical. It's absolutely logical. That's how I obey the gospel. Not because of the way I feel, but because it's logical. I studied it. I continue to study it. And it's logical. So do you trust God? I hope and pray that your answer is yes. And if not, please, please trust God. You can become a Christian so easily today. You can become one by hearing the word of God, which you have already heard. Believe it. Not believing in the sense of, oh, it makes you feel good, but believe it because it's logical. I asked one individual, well, do you know why there are so many churches? He said, well, no, it doesn't really matter. Well, it matters because you're an adult. You have the responsibility to know. I use this example always to those type of individuals. If you were riding down the street and the police stop you and say, do you know how fast you were going? It doesn't really matter. Yes, it does. You're going to receive a ticket now. You have the responsibility, and it's logical, you have the responsibility to know as an adult, to know as an accountable human being. Amen. And we need to know whether or not we trust God. Yes, if you have anything to respond, please come as we stand and sing. When the Savior